Good to see you today. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Hey, may God bless you. It's an honor and privilege to have each and every one of you worship the Lord with us today. If you're a guest at Hope Church in one of our three services, for our guests, we give you anonymity, which basically means hang out and hide out. Make yourself at home. We'll not ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We just want this to be a great experience. And everybody said, amen to that. Amen. Let's begin with prayer and we'll get right into the word. Father, we thank you for every person that's here today. Lord, I just thank you that you know where they're at, who they are, what they need. And I just ask you to bless them today. Touch them, encourage them, speak into their life. Let the words spoken today not be my ideas or my words, but let them be from heaven that would do such an amazing impact in each and every one of our lives. Now we give you praise. We thank you for all that you have for us. And I thank you as we walk out this journey, we will have what you've called us to have. We will do what you've called us to do. We will be who you've called us to be. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Say the real me.
The real me.
Shout the real me.
The real me.
We've been talking about, for a few weeks now, about this concept of your self-image, which how important it is in your walk with God. In some areas, people only talk about knowing the Lord, and that is the most important. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But after you know who Jesus is and who he is in your life, it's good to know who you are, your self-image. It was such a tactic of the enemy. Even in Jesus' day, if you look at the temptation, he started with, if you are the Son of God. Because if the devil can get you to question your identity, he can derail your destiny. It's knowing who you are in Christ, in him, that gives you that identity, that authority, and that boldness and ability to step into what God's called you to step in. It might be stepping out of the boat like Peter did. It might be starting a new job. It might be moving into a new relationship. Whatever it might be, knowing who you are, because in the journey of life, and we see this throughout Scripture, it's like a race. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people that try to trick you. But knowing who you are allows you to stand in the authority of who God's called you to be. So it's not just waiting on God. How many times have we heard Christians say, I'm waiting on Jesus to do something? And the truth is, he's waiting on you. He's given you authority in your world. Say, he's given me authority in my world. It's not everybody's world, it's your world. Because the Bible does not tell you to pray that God would resist the devil. It says you resist the devil and he will flee. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom or authority. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth or permit or not permit is what will happen in the realm of God. And so we find in this series that learning who we are helps us to stand strong because righteousness is right standing with God. When you know who you are, the righteous are bold as a lion. And so it's a process now of understanding who we are so that we can pursue what God wants us to pursue, resist who God wants us to resist, stand against whatever tactic the enemy might be trying to bring into your life or your home or your marriage or whatever, because you know, wait a minute, there's a battle, but I'm not weak, I'm strong. There's a battle, I'm not passive, I am on the side of pursuing what God tells me to do. I'm on the offense, not the defense. I'm not scared. I'm bold. Not because you are natural temperament, you're bold. You might be quiet and timid on the inside naturally, but when God rises up and stirs up inside of you, for the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, God does not want you to be a victim. He wants you to be a victor, a champion in the challenges of life, it says in the Bible. And so learning that process of, wait a minute, I'm not going to be passive and sit here on the easy chair of life waiting for God to back up the truck and dump everything he's promised into my life. Beep, beep, beep. No, faith without works is dead, and we need faith for victory, faith to receive, because you inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. So we've looked at that in this journey, and we've been utilizing the context of a Gospel Matthew chapter 13 in the context of that parable of the sower sowing the word. If you've been with us, we quick review, we found out that the seed is the word of God. The soil is literally the hearts of people. Where are we in that journey? Because when the word goes forth in the first group, it was the people who really did not care. Have you met somebody that they're around the Bible or around church, but really, they just don't care? And it doesn't mean that they're a bad person, but if they don't care, they won't pay attention. If they don't pay attention, they'll not have any understanding. It's what the Bible says is a heart that is hardened, so the word can't get in. See, when you hear the word and embrace it and bring it in and get understanding and apply it in your life, it's like bring it into your world, bring it into your application, bring it into your rhythm. And all of a sudden, we find out it's not the struggles of the wind, it's the lack of the word inside that we really deal with. David said that I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you never have a sin problem. You have a lack of word problem if you struggle with sin. Because the entrance of his word brings light. And where there's light, there cannot be any darkness. Can I get an amen? Amen. The devil will trip you in your perspective and get you looking over here while he's working over there. Because he'll get you thinking you can't conquer. Well, you're not the one trying to conquer. You're just the one that needs to be doing the planting. And you keep planting the seed. And you keep planting the seed. And you keep planting the word in your heart. And you listen to the word. And you read the word. But you know, I go to church once every 6 months. And I might read one chapter every 3 weeks. And that's all you're going to get. But if you want more, you got to plant the word. Plant the word. And the word begins to develop, and the word begins to grow, and it goes from a seed to a plant or a tree, whichever type of seed you have. But people who plant a seed don't get excited just when the seed's planted. They might celebrate one day that they're in the place of hope, but when they begin to see the tree growing, they're getting excited. We're getting a little closer, but they don't stop there. They don't stop until they see the tree produce the fruit that's connected to the seed. So you might plant an apple seed, and all of a sudden, woo, one day, it's going to be different. And you start seeing something change. Oh, look at that tree. Soon we're going to have some apples. And you get excited. But you don't stop there until you're eating some apple pie. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So you can hear the promises of God, healing, blessing, finance, whatever it might be, and get excited. Woo, one day God's going to make it different. But it doesn't stop there. You begin to see the change. And all of a sudden that it's not done until the seed has produced the change that even people who don't know God can see a difference. Malachi 3, and nations of the world will see and call you blessed. John 15, verse 7, 8, and 16. This is what gives glory to your Father, that you produce much fruit. So if I want an apple, then I need to have an apple seed. If I want healing, I need a healing seed. If I want a blessing, I need to get some financial seed from the word of God. If I want peace in my home, I got to find some seeds on peace. Come on, somebody. And you make specific the planting of the seed in your heart. You embrace it. You begin to apply it. And in the process of time, we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. I would like to be faith and immediate, but it's not always immediate. There is a process of patience, but don't get discouraged, because the process of God cannot be stopped by the opposing enemy, cannot be stopped by any demon, cannot be stopped by the environment, cannot be stopped by the economy, cannot be stopped by the society, cannot be stopped what's going on in the news. No matter what they say, no matter what they try, you keep planting the seed of God's word, and God's word works every time. Stick with it. It will produce after its own kind. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They're saying everything's going to fall apart. Keep planting the seed of what God says, that Jehovah Jireh is your provider. He'll show you what to do, because every vision comes with revelations of steps. You just walk it out, for the entrance of his word brings light. Your word, oh God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. What do? I just walk in the light as he is the light. I'm just doing what he shows you to do. And as you're doing it, you'll have wisdom beyond your years. You'll have insight that the professionals don't have. You'll have understanding that people scratch their head and say, how did you do that? How did you know that? You didn't have to know it all. You just had to know the one who does. Hallelujah. You can override the systems of the world by the system of God. And Matthew 13 says one group, they just don't care. It's no big deal. If it's no big deal, there's no value. If no value, they won't notice it. They won't notice it. They can't receive it. If they can't receive it, it will do no good. The birds of the air catch it. It's like buying a car. Have you ever bought a car and you see one on the lot and you have never seen it before. You're like, what is that? All this is, and they tell you all about it, and you're like, I have to have it. I've never seen it. I'll be the only one on the road with that car. And you buy that car, and you get a not so good a deal. Come on. And so you buy that car, and you're so excited, and you're ready. To, I mean, you're so excited to drive down the road because you know everybody's going to be looking. Where? Look at the car. And what do you see? The same car everywhere. Do you really think that everybody bought the same car when you bought it? No, it was always there. You never noticed it because it wasn't important to you. When something becomes important to you, the way your natural brain works is when something's important of value to you, you'll begin to become aware, you'll begin to see, you'll begin to have understanding, and begin to notice stuff that you never noticed before. People say, I just don't see anything when I read the Bible. It's because it's not important to you. Make it a priority, and you'll begin to get understanding from it that other times you missed. Hallelujah. That second, I just got to stay there for a second. I'm telling you, the word is powerful. Amen. It will not return void, Isaiah 55:11. Amen. The second phase is the group of people who receive the word with gladness. We're excited about it. We see in Matthew 13. But all of a sudden, pressures come. And we found out that the million-dollar question in that phase of your life, when people begin to try to talk you out of it, when haters show up and say, why are you doing that? It's been like this all these years. Why don't you just give up and accept it? It'll never be any different. Do you know anybody that's... They're just telling you that for whatever reason. You know, I talked to my pastor. He said, God doesn't even do that anymore. Your pastor's wrong. Well, listen, I want you to know, don't take my word for anything. Challenge everything with the word of God. And if so-and-so's pastor says God don't do anymore, and it doesn't line up with the word of God, do you know what? So-and-so pastor, let's pray for them. They're missing it. Because what's key is not what I say or what they say. It's what he says. And pressure will come. And the million-dollar question there was, who do you want approval from? If your approval is all based on their followers on Facebook or how many views you had or how many likes you have or keep, that's all the stuff. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's all on the surface. But if you want to produce fruit in that level, that's the next phase because you've embraced the word and pressure's coming. You got to learn Psalms 1 to dig deep to begin to access water when there's no rain. Access water when it gets dry on the surface. When even people turn against you, tell you that you're crazy or it's not going to work. You're not drawing from their approval. You're drawing from the approval of God. Lord, I'm trusting you with all my heart, and I'm leaning not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you, and you are direct. Woo! That third phase is the people who break through the pressure of saying you can't make it. Because the same demon that says you'll never make it, when you stand strong and break through it, you know what happens up here? He'll tell you, you can't keep it. And then he'll try to push you to places that you were never intended to go. Amen. That third phase we talked about, the million-dollar question is, who do you really serve? Some Christians only serve Jesus when they're going through a hard time. Crisis management. I got to go to church. It's been a rough year. Well, what if it's a great year? Do you still go to church? Amen. I got to read the Bible. It's been hard. I got people mad at me. What if everybody loved you? Do you still read the Bible? Or do you only go to God when things are going bad? Because the devil's tactic is at this level is to get you to move away from God without him. Because things are going good. Even the devil tried that with Jesus in the temptation. He said, listen, I'll throw all the kingdoms of the world at your feet. All you need to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus responded and said, shut up, devil. Remember that? Shut up, devil. Say, shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
He said, shut up, devil, because we only serve one, and that's the Father. And only him do we serve. Who do you want to serve? If you're only approaching God because you need something, then you're missing all the things that God has for you. It's not just when you're in the valley that you pray. It's on the top of the mountain. And if everything's going your way and you have the Midas touch and everything you do succeeds, and all of a sudden it's not, oh, I'm struggling, I need you, Jesus. It's, Lord, I thank you, and you're still number one. Lord, I thank you for that raise. You're still number one. I'm going to praise you when the raise. I'm going to praise you in the promotion. I'm going to praise you in the debt cancellation. I'm going to praise you when I'm healed and healthy. I'm going to praise you just not at the valley when I'm needing something, but at the top when everything's looking good. Because some people, they get up here, and all of a sudden, now they're at the top, and things are going well. The fruit is starting to grow. Blessings are coming. Now they're not struggling financially. Now they have their bills paid, and they have a little extra. And so now the devil throws out all kinds of little extra things they can do with their little extra. And instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle our finances? They just say, oh, what do I want? And all of a sudden, you're like, I haven't seen you in a while on the weekends. Oh, I had some extra money, so I bought some extra stuff, and I got to take care of the extra stuff on the weekends, and I can't be at church on Sunday. God don't mind you having a boat, but if the boat keeps you out of church on the weekends, so all of a sudden, the word that was producing has been choked out by the thorns of the lures of wealth. But that's not you. We're going all the way. We're going to cash that check. Come on, somebody. The promise of God's with your name on it to the place of you receiving what God has for you. And on this third phase, the Bible says that they see that fruit being developed to maturity. Say maturity.
Maturity.
And it's producing fruit 30, 60, 100 times. That means it's changing you and changing those around you. It's a light in your life, but in your world. You're helping other people. It's bigger and better and beyond you. But in the challenges, we could talk about haters. We've done that. We've talked about the enemy. We've done that. We've talked about wrong opportunities. We've done that. Today, I don't want to talk about the spiritual side. I don't want to talk about the stuff around you. I want to talk about the stuff on the inside of you. Let's take a little different direction. You guys are getting too serious and too quiet for me. I'm always intrigued with technology. I have always loved technology since I was young. And it's amazing how the world changes so fast. You watch old TV programs, and you're like, what phone was that? Yeah, I did a wedding for a friend of mine, and it was at a home. And they had one of the grandkids was around, bouncing around, probably about 2 years old, and this family had an old-type corded phone, right? And it rang, and somebody called it. And when it rang, he jumped. What is that? Talking about technology, I mean, far removed. And then you have Facebook and Periscope. Get a Periscope account. Be the techiest person in your family. Get a Periscope, Twitter, the whole nine yards. You get smartphones. Forget about the dumb phones. You got smartphones. And then you have, I'm glad you like that. And the cameras. And I always wonder, the person who decided, let's put a camera in a phone, it probably was along the lines of the idea of, let's put a camera in the phone, that way, wherever they're at, they don't have to reach for a camera, they have their phone and take pictures. And yet today, our society, we take pictures, but there's probably a lot more selfies. They probably never thought of what a selfie would be, right? You probably never, some of you maybe don't even know what a selfie is. You take a picture of yourself. Selfie. I want to show you a few selfies that I've taken over the years. One that's kind of interesting, one that I like as far as the best, as far as the timing of it, and one I thought was the most impressive of the three. But the first one was, I think, the most interesting because of who photobombed me. And so if we have that picture set up, let's throw this picture. I don't know if you can see because it's an old picture. What this picture is years ago, obviously, my wife and I took Logan and some of her cousins to a place where you could feed animals and ride the horses and the camels, and that's a camel over my shoulder. That's not a really good picture. It looks better on my small phone. But I was photobombed by a camel. I always thought that was interesting. Here, now, the most unusual, I was doing a wedding, and I decided to do a selfie while I was doing the wedding. And I thought, well, this is kind of a cool thing. How often do you get a chance to do that? And so that was Devin and Hannah's wedding I did. And then my last is one that I think is the most creative one. Let's show that one I did. That took a lot of effort. Yeah, they told me not to text and drive, but no one said don't text and fly. And so I was doing this. And just for clarification, no, that's not me. I'm joking. That's not me. Someone's going to walk away. Pastor flies a jet on the weekends. I wish I could fly a jet. I'd hear Top Gun music right now. That's so cool. Okay, here's why I show you. I still like that picture, though. You just got to be amazed by that. Okay, you can put that down. Here's what I want to do. Today is going to be Sunday selfie. So grab your smartphones if you have one. We are going to take a picture. You never thought I would say that, did you? If you didn't bring your phone with you, that's okay. That's cool. But now, just so we're all on the same page, a selfie, and you want to make sure there's some people in the crowd so you can get whatever crowd angle you want, okay? But we're all, don't take it yet. We're all going to take a picture at the same time. I'm going to take a selfie of you taking selfies. Because I just think that would be cool. All right, so hang on. I got to get set up first. Wait, don't take it yet. All right, now to make it a little more fun, everybody stand up so it'll work better. Get your camera, any angle you want. Any angle you want, and I'll give you a count. Count of three, all right? Ready? Hang on, not yet. Ready? One, two, three. All right. Some of you are still taking selfies. Come on now. Some of you are still trying to figure out why your camera is not on your phone, and you're like, it's not taking any pictures. All right. Now I got to bring this around to a thought, okay? And by the way, you can hashtag GotMyHope on any of the social network is a chance to win. Every week we're giving away a free t-shirt, hashtag GotMyHope. For those who don't know what hashtag is, think of a pound sign. For those who don't know what that is, think of tic-tac-toe. So anyway you want to do, tic-tac-toe, GotMyHope, whatever. But hashtag GotMyHope, put it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. We'll do a search tomorrow, and we'll do a drawing, and we'll give a free t-shirt every week to somebody that's in that. So that's available too. So here's why I had you take a selfie. And I would like for you to keep that selfie. Because the question for today is, where are you in the picture? Where are you in the picture? One of the things you're going to find out in this process and the journey of faith is you don't always need the enemy or haters to cause the problem. Sometimes the problem is happening within us. Paul says in Romans 6, 7, and 8 that there is a struggle going on the inside of me. Sometimes I'm wanting to do right, and sometimes I'm wanting to do wrong, and I deal with this. Paul says, I got to deal with this on a daily basis, and what you have to realize, just because you want to do wrong doesn't mean you have a right to do wrong. We have to learn to deal with who we are and the carnality side, because Jesus paid for you, the entirety of you, by the blood of Jesus. You're redeemed by the blood. That includes your spirit. You're a spirit, you have a body, and you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And when you read the context of Scripture and redemption, you have to understand that. Redemption is a transactional process. It means you bought something. You redeemed a car. You redeemed that discount. You bought something. Jesus bought you with his blood, but your spirit is immediately saved. Your soul, the mind, will, and emotions, has to be saved progressively. Paul says, work out your salvation. And your body will be saved when it's glorified at the end. So God wants all of you. And sometimes when we deal with the soul side, we don't need the enemy to talk us out of it. Our soul part would talk us out of it because we get sidetracked with other stuff. And you have to ask yourself, when you feel the pressure to do something wrong or pressure to give in, I want to encourage you to pull out that selfie and ask yourself, where am I in this picture? Where am I in this picture? Where am I in this picture? Let me give you a couple scriptures so you know I'm just not making this up. James chapter 1, verse 13, amplified. James 1, verse 13. Let's go to James 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God. I've just been dealing with so much temptation, Pastor. It's so hard. Pray for me. Listen, let no one say when I am tempted to do wrong, to do evil, to sin, I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. Notice this. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, baited by his own evil desire. That's a side of us that we don't want nobody to know about. That's a side of us that we definitely don't want to talk about, especially on Sunday. But the humanity of in each of us, the carnality that we're saved from that keeps trying to creep up in us. We see that being played out even in Gospel of John chapter 2. It said that Jesus would not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man. One translation says because he knew what was in humanity. Sometimes we put too much confidence in this thing called flesh. Not only in other people, but even in ourselves. Well, anytime the devil will tell you that you're spiritually strong enough to do something that is not ethically correct and you can handle it, oh, I can go there. I couldn't go there before. I can go there. I can handle it. You are depending on something that is frail and will fail you every time. Why do I deal with the pressure? It's because where are you in the picture? When you begin to live life in a way that it's about me, it's my life. And listen, if you haven't been there, it's maybe because you're young, but I think in the rhythm of life, we all get to that place in some area of our life that God will show us direction, because when he gives you a vision, he follows it with steps of direction. And in those steps, you have to choose who you will serve, who are you going to follow, whose approval you want. And there'll be times that the enemy will rise up and you'll feel yourself saying, wait a minute, God, I give you Sunday, the rest is mine. I'll give you this, but don't touch that. This is my life, and this is what I want. God said, don't marry that person. Don't go with that person. Stay away from those friends. They're going to lead you the wrong direction. I'm sorry, but I love them so much, and I'm so lonely. I'm sorry, God. This is my life. Because salvation is just not Jesus being your Savior. It's Jesus also being your Lord. It's denying yourself and following him. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, pick up the cross and follow me. And the cross doesn't mean for you that you go to the cross and be nailed and die for the sins of people. Jesus did that for humanity. The cross for you and I is not that. The cross for you and I is not you having a rough day, being miserable, suffering, and taking the worst seat in the car. No, no, no. The cross for you and I is coming to a place, and we see this being played out in Jesus' life when he was in the garden and he prayed, Father, if there be any other way, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. The cross for you and I is when we come to a crossroad of decisions in life and we have to choose, do I want to do what I know God wants me to do or what I want to do? And when you choose and say, it's not about me, I got to do what he wants me to do. Philippians says he'll give you the desire and the ability to do right when you ask him. But you got to realize sometimes when we struggle, it's not the devil. It's not temptation. It's all this temptation. Pastor, that's the problem. I need to be in a safe bubble where no one could ever bother me. But you have to understand the temptation didn't start. The temptation didn't start when the secretary beaded her eyes at you. The temptation didn't start when you had the first idea of doing it. The temptation didn't start when things came to a point of opportunity. The temptation started within you when you begin to choose, I want to be in the picture. Because the devil's goal is to get that your selfie of life, it's all about you. And there's no room for Jesus or others. You don't teach children to be selfish. Children are naturally selfish. That's the carnal nature. They want what is theirs, and they also want what is yours. Teaching them to share is a difficult thing. Teaching them to do what's right is sometimes an instructional thing. And it is birthed within the nature of the flesh side of us, the carnality side of us, that is dictated and dominated by what you feel, hear, or see. But I feel like I got to have that, so I have to buy it. I feel like I got to be with them. I know he's married, but I got to be with them. What is happening? There's too much of you in the picture. Too much of you in the picture. In challenges of life, in the rhythms of life, in the opportunities of life, in the successes of life, you will have to keep coming back to that place of where am I in the picture? Where am I in this picture? Where am I? Let me give you our last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He died for everyone, talking about Jesus, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Now, there's a balance to this, folks. Hear me. There's a balance. I'm not saying that you have to follow what somebody else says. You have to follow is from God. Because there's a lot of goofy people in the world. And they're always going to find an angle and say, well, God told me to tell you, you need to sell your house and give me the money and marry me. And anytime someone does that, we've all had people do that. You know, I can give you the freedom that if it's not something, anytime, let me just break it down this way. Anytime God sends somebody to speak into your life, it will always be in line with the word of God and always be a confirmation of something he's already dealt with you in prayer, right? Because there's some people that will use God as a tool to manipulate what they want, not what God wants. And you can look at people and say, you need to give me an offer. You got to do this or you got to do that. You need to marry me. No, you need to pay my bills because you're a Christian and you don't know I don't have a job and you're supposed to walk in love, aren't you? You're not a real Christian if you don't pay my bills. You can say, just a minute, let me ask Jesus. No, he says no. Right? I mean, how would they know? They're not even serving God themselves. Hey, hang on, just a minute, wait a minute. They did what the other night? Oh, you do stay here. He told me I got to talk to you about something. Hang on, I got to get more. They'll be gone by the time you open your eyes. It's okay to tell people no. It's not okay to tell God no. So I'm not saying let people manipulate you. That's where it gets real weird in the world. I'm saying when the Holy Spirit reveals God's word in your heart. See, that's the Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He'll remind you of the things I said. That's one of the key benefits of getting the word, coming to church and hearing the word, reading the word. It's because you're placing it inside you like a well, giving the Holy Spirit a chance to draw to your attention. And there'll be times you think, I didn't memorize that. Why am I remembering that now when I really don't want to remember it now? You're on your way and all of a sudden the scripture, thou shalt not kill. You're like, ah, I was so close. Right? It's amazing how he does that, isn't it? Just, and you're not looking, you're not expecting, and you're doing your own thing, and out of the blue, bam, comes this scripture that reminds you of something that God's word says, and he's like, don't forget. What is he doing? He's showing you the right path. And for you to take the right path, you have to make a choice. And to make the right choice, you really have to come to the place, where am I in this picture? Last thought, Mary at the wedding in Cana, they ran out of wine, and so she told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Don't complicate it. Don't add to it. Just do it. Before Nike, there was Jesus. Just do it. But let me tell you something. That is a level of trust to say yes before you hear the instruction. That is a level of God, it's no longer me that lives. And if the Bible says, no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Where in the context of Scripture it also says, I must decrease that he must increase. What are we saying? Come into a place in your walk with God that says, Jesus, whatever you show me from your word for me to do, I tell you in advance, yes. I'm taking myself out of the picture. It's not, tell me what to do and I'll think about it. It's not, tell me what to do and if it works good for me, if it works with my schedule, if it feels good to me, if it makes me look better in front of people, if it just kind of works to my agenda, I'll do it. No. It's a matter of, Jesus, you're not only my Savior, you're my Lord, and if you tell me to do it, I'll obey. I won't add to it, I'll just simply obey. It sounds like a rough road, and it really is the smoothest road because you can have peace and confidence from God to know that you're on the right path, even when you don't see the future path. You know, listen, I'm in a situation, if God needs to show me something, I am well open for him to speak into my life. And when he speaks, he promotes you. When he speaks, he's improving you. When he speaks, he's bringing you to a whole nother level, which makes sense why David would say, God, I lay my life before you as an open book. Search me out, because he's saying, God, God, if I'm missing something, you just say it. I'll do it. Because the steps of the righteous will always lead you to the right path. I'll obey you, Lord. That's tough. But you don't know what I'm dealing with. He does. But I feel so strongly I need to. Wait a minute. What does God want you to do with your time? What does God want you to do with that situation? What does God want you to do with that job opportunity? What does God want you to do with your money? What does God want you to do with that relationship? I don't want to ask him because I think I know what he might say. That's fine. But now you know where you're at in the picture. And when it's all about you, then it becomes hard in life. Jesus said when you live your life just to keep things to yourself, you're going to lose it. There's a quality of life. People walking around trying to be happy and they can't get happy because it's all about them. But if you give up your life for me and the gospel's sake, you'll find true quality of life. Let's look at that verse one more time that I just read on the screen. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. I'm not going to live what benefits Greg Bruce. I'm going to live what benefits the Lord. If I like it or don't like it, if it's easy or hard, if I want to say something, but he says, don't say anything, I'll bite my lip. I might be biting it hard. It might be drips of blood coming down my chin. Come on, somebody. Why? Because the goal is not for me to do what I want. Because I know that if I did everything that I wanted, I'm going to mess it up in the mix. I don't see it all, even when I try to see it and understand it all. But I come to a place, Lord, I'm taking myself out of the picture. It's all about you. And you're going to find when opposition comes, you'll charge the giant because it's not about you. David didn't say, I can take him because I've been practicing. David said, I can take him because of God. When you have opportunities, you'll instead of saying, I don't think I could do it, it's not about you anymore. You can do all things through Christ. You can say, wait a minute, God, is this the opportunity? And though it doesn't make sense to me, and I've never done it, and I maybe failed before when I tried it, this time, if this is what you tell me to do, I'm going to step out of the boat and watch your life change. Because you're taking yourself out of the picture. Next time you go through temptation, struggles, problems, it's easy to blame everybody. And I don't want you to feel bad about yourself, but let's get a perspective. Take that picture out and say, Lord, where am I in this picture? Make that a prayer point. Where am I in this picture? Have I gotten too much in this picture, Lord? Is the problem I'm dealing with really about me and not about this stuff? Because the key is, Lord, I want to say yes. I got to get myself out of it and say yes before you say anything. I'm here to obey. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's what Samuel had to say before he got the next step. Speak, Lord, for your servant, the one who's going to do what you ask, is here. I'm listening. Make that a position in your life and watch your life change incredibly in every area of your life. Amen? Amen. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.